Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Friday morning chapel. I just have a brief announcement before our worship today. The Student Senate Religious Affairs Committee has asked me to announce that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Hunzi Hall 311, there will be a Bible study on evangelism by Aaron Wakeman. And to entice you to come, there will be coffee and donuts, too. So 9 o'clock tomorrow up at Hunzi Hall 311, a special study on evangelism. Lord's blessings on our worship today. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was in eighth grade, I was helping my father one evening wash our car, a little after supper, and three of my friends showed up on bicycles and wanted me to come with them to see a movie that was showing in town. And I didn't know much about the movie, but apparently my dad did, and it was a bit controversial for a variety of reasons. And as they were trying to encourage me to come along with them, my dad asked them more and more questions about it, and finally made the decision that I would not be allowed to go. Well, that didn't sit well with me, especially right in front of my friends, and I began to argue with him a little bit. And finally, my friends left to go to the movie without me. And my dad and I got into it a little bit. And he finally sent me up to my room and made me sit there for a couple hours and think about all of this. That was a not fun conversation, and especially the embarrassment that it meant for me in front of my friends. That was pretty hard for me to stomach. The text in front of us says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Boy, that sure did. That felt painful to me right at that moment. The letter that we're reading here today was written to the Hebrews, the Jewish people who were Christians in the region of Judea, probably most of them in Jerusalem, and a lot of them were undergoing persecution for their faith. They were undergoing some very difficult times trying to stand up for belief in the fact that the Messiah, the Christ, had actually come, and putting their trust and faith in him as the Savior. And they were undergoing a variety of challenges and temptations, some of them psychological, I'm sure, and physical and spiritual. It was a difficult time for people to be a Christian. And there are times for us when, in our lives, it may appear that God doesn't really pay attention to us, doesn't seem to pay attention to our prayers, doesn't seem to really care about us. That night when I was sitting on my bed stewing over the situation that I couldn't go along with my friends to all of that, it might have been hard to convince me that my dad really loved me. Might have been hard to convince me that he really had my best interest in mind and in heart. While you're in the middle of being disciplined, while you're undergoing the chastisement, it doesn't feel very good. It's kind of painful, as our text says. Think about incidents in Scripture during Jesus' parable of Lazarus outside the house of the rich man, sitting there in his poverty, having his wounds licked by dogs. Imagine someone in that situation, how easy it would be to question whether God even cared about them. We think about the poor widow at the alms box outside of Jerusalem, putting in her tiny little coins, the last little bit of money that she had. How easy someone in that situation might reason that God really has abandoned her and not thought of her. Job in the middle of his misery, his own friends trying to convince him that God could care less about him. We think about St. Paul and many of the things that he had to endure because of his faith and preaching about Christ. In one situation in the city of Lystra, he was taken by a mob and thrown outside of the city and stoned. And yet, at that same incident, Paul comes back to the Christians inside of the city of Lystra and encourages them in their faith, and he says this, "We must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God." But when we analyze our lives in these situations where we're undergoing some difficulty or some discipline from God, when we're undergoing his chastisement, in those situations we can analyze things according to our logic and our reason and our senses, and we can come away with some incorrect thinking. Looking at it logically, we might think to ourselves, God doesn't care. Or maybe God's not even in control. Or maybe, worse yet, maybe there is no God out there. When we're in the middle of the trouble, it creates a challenge for us as to how we might logically perceive things with our senses. And sometimes it appears that the devil has the upper hand of things. Whatever the temptation or trial is that we're going through, at that moment it can seem like the devil is in charge. And yet, even in the midst of the most desperate situations that we face in life, God's eye is always on his faithful. Just like my dad's eye was always on me and caring about me and loving me in that situation. You and I, as believers in Christ, in Scripture, are described in the book of Psalms as being the apple of God's eye. He never leaves his children. He never has anything but their best interest in mind and in heart, even though it may not always feel like that. I have some relatives who, there are two brothers that were rather different from each other, and their father, according to how they talked about their being raised, their father would discipline them a little bit differently. The one he knew he couldn't push very far, or that son was gonna rebel. And the other one could take a little bit more. And the father handled each one a little bit differently. He knew his children well enough as to what they could take and what they needed, too, in each of those circumstances. And that's a great picture of how our Heavenly Father is toward us with each one of us in our lives. He knows his sheep. He knows exactly what our weaknesses are and our strengths and the things that would help us the best. And he knows that individually for each one of us. He understands our unique personalities and our situations in life and everything. And so there may be times when he dishes out his discipline in a slightly different way at times for one person than for another. And yet it's always coming from a heart of love. It's always coming from a perspective of what is going to be best for us ultimately to guide us on the path to heaven. And so in his dealings with us, unlike our earthly fathers who could make mistakes, God is always perfect with us. His decisions for you in your life, his decisions for how things are going to lay out for you in your life are always perfect from a heavenly perspective. Now, the chastening or the punishment that a child receives is never for the parent's sake. It's always for the child's sake. It's always done for the child and for what's going to be in the best interest of the child. And yet God himself, though he never tempts us to sin, and he never is the one that is the cause of evil in our life, he will at times take the fact that devils fill this world, and he may shape things in such a way to have temptation and trials hit us in a way that he knows will ultimately benefit us and best suits your particular situation in your life. But God promises that through all of this and through all the trials you might face, that he is permitting this to come to you ultimately as a blessing. You know, that night, if you were to sit down and interview me on my bed and ask me about my dad and what I thought of him at that moment, I maybe didn't have the greatest thoughts. And at the same time, years later, when I was a dad and now had to deal with situations like that with my children, I completely see and understand my dad's love. It was far greater than I ever understood at the time. And that's what our text says. Listen again. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And our text says that God does this and allows this to happen to us in our lives that we may share in his holiness. That we may share in his holiness. Now, none of us have that in ourselves, of course. But we share in the holiness of God and of Christ through faith in him. And that's what this is all about, keeping us with our Savior, keeping us trusting only in him and what he's done for us, putting our hope of getting to heaven entirely in him and the righteousness that he has come to give us and win for us. And all of these different trials and things that happen in our life are ultimately for that final eternal good. And so we pray that God would use whatever it takes in my life, in your life, to keep us clinging to Christ, to keep us appreciating his word and his precious sacrament that keep us in our faith, so that we continue to pray, thy will be done. May not always be our will, just like it wasn't my will to miss out on that movie that night, but thy will be done, because that will is always the best for us and has an eternal perspective. Amen. Let us pray. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Thank you. triune God